You paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
Thank you, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. You're listening to The Business Lunch on 720 WGN, a Friday edition, and thanks for that. We're going to talk to Andrea Haines from Blue Sky Innovation at the Chicago Tribune, as we do each week, but also a little bit later in the program, Keisha King will be here. She's the founder of a business called Chop Chop, and they're involved in a Miller Lite competition. I think they've won the preliminary. They're going to the finals, but it's, as I understand it, sort of a high-end haircut that will come to you, a beauty salon that travels. So, Andrea Haines, I don't know, are you interested in beauty salons that travel?
I would love that.
Andrea would be in the studio. She usually is, but right now she's number 98 in line for a new iPhone 7.
Only when the super shiny jet black is available.
Yeah, you're going to have to wait for that, I think. How are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good. So the new phone comes out, and it just amazes me that people wait in line for it the way they do. But, you know, it's sort of become a ritual. It's like the guy who used to try to get the first picnic permit in Cook County, I guess, that they just, there's a regular bunch of rascals who go out there and wait for it. They did today, and the phone is now for sale.
Yep, I think that's exactly what it is. People have fun with their friends or their coworkers, and they kind of go out and do it, even sometimes with a wink and a nod, like they know maybe it's a little bit right. A little bit silly, but it's fun, you know?
And so there's that. I don't know if you saw the story today, but the AP and a couple other news organizations sued the FBI under Freedom of Information. They want to know how much the FBI paid and who they paid to break into the shooter of the San Bernardino attack, the shooter's iPhone. Remember, there was that big controversy of whether Apple would open it up. They didn't. The FBI said they got in. And now AP and others are suing to sort of find out how. I'm not sure what's behind that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we've been following along with that story for months as, you know, the hacking was happening and there was all this kind of talk about what is the precedent of that? What does it mean? You know, so here's the next step of seeing how this is all going to shake out when the law wants to get into our phones.
Yeah, it's under Freedom of Information, and it's sometimes shocking what you can find out under that, as the city of Chicago learned just recently. Okay.
Yeah, and at this point, it's all on our phones, right? What secrets do we have that you would not find on our phones?
That's a good point. Do you watch Stranger Things?
I do. You know, I just watched the entire thing start to finish last weekend.
I just have seen only the first episode. It's worth staying with, I guess.
I think it's fun. It definitely is a little bit of 80s, you know, throwback. If you remember that era.
Is it like sci-fi Goonies?
It kind of is. Okay. It kind of is. And it's people debate over whether they truly found it scary or just more fun. I think I was more in the I found it fun category. I didn't like go to bed terrified or anything.
Well, the story is that a boy gets sucked into sort of an alternate dimension, and you know, and then there's this evil science lab, from what I've read or seen in the first one, that they're trying to keep all of these secrets. Okay, we got that. But Blue Sky writes about argon and the fact that argon most closely represents this evil science lab, and that there might be a little truth behind the whole thing.
Yeah, it was fun because they, you know, the Hawkins National Lab is the super scary lab on the program, and argon most resembles it. So we went out and talked to scientists out there about this whole idea of alternate dimensions and everything. And, you know, it's fun to talk to them because they're not like, oh, that's dumb. Nothing like that could ever happen. They're kind of the opposite. They're like, sure, there's alternate dimensions, and we're working on black holes right now.
And you
so
talk
very open to the idea of it.
Talk to a guy named Marius Stan about that, a senior scientist at Argon and also a cast member of Breaking Bad. You can't make that up. So he played like the car wash owner or something in Breaking Bad.
Yep.
And he's actually a scientist. And he says that they are working on this. I think maybe I read especially in Switzerland or elsewhere, but that there is this idea that there might be sort of an alternate universe and they might figure out a way to get to it.
Yeah, they're definitely not ruling it out. And he's also very open-minded about what he considers to be an alternate universe.
I love that.
You can imagine sleeping as an alternate universe, movies as an alternate universe. It seems just as easy for them to imagine a real alternate universe.
I like that. He said, you know, if you read a book, you sort of go into an alternate universe, and that's not scary and that's not bad. And this might be something like that. Well,
yeah.
There are ways away from it, but just interesting that truth is stranger than fiction, if you will. Let me play on the title for that Netflix series. I'll watch some more this weekend, probably. Ed Burke wants to ban driverless cars in the city of Chicago, which kind of makes me laugh more than anything else. He and Anthony Beale, a couple of aldermen, have introduced an ordinance that would keep driverless cars off the streets of Chicago because they're just not safe. What's that about?
Yeah, so Uber is now testing driverless cars in Pittsburgh. They are live with this test right now. So you can actually, in Pittsburgh, get a ride in a driverless car, although they do have humans tending it, so you aren't alone with the necessary machine. But so just as that began, these aldermen decided they did not think that was such a good idea for Chicago, so they're fighting it. Of course, the people that follow Blue Sky tend to be pro-innovation and pro-technology, so they don't think that's a very good idea.
Well, it's going to go before the Finance and Transportation Committees, but it just seems like one of those Ed Burke things. I'm not sure exactly what's behind it, but I'm sure he'll get it through committee, and we'll see what happens after that. In Uber now is, this makes sense to me, because a couple times, I'm not a big Uber guy, but one of the things that I have to get over is the fact I have to believe that there's always going to be an Uber driver out there waiting for me. There always has been, but now Uber's working how you can sort of pre-arrange a ride, which makes it a little bit more like a taxi again.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the funny thing about it, right? It's sort of everything old is new again. So now you can, I think, you know, particularly people think of things like early morning flights, you know,
right.
Sometimes they're very much out of your usual routine. And, you know, you're like, I don't actually know if I'm going to easily find an Uber at 4:30 in the morning.
And you need to be there.
And you kind of are worried about it, you know, so this allows you to, if you know you're going to the airport or whatever reason, you need something maybe that you're not typically grabbing, you can book that in advance.
So they've been doing that in other cities and they've just rolled it out in Chicago?
Exactly.
And does Lyft have the similar thing?
Lyft has it in San Francisco right now, and they are also going to be rolling it out to other cities, but not yet.
Is Lyft any competition for Uber, or is it over?
You know, things can always change. I think at this point, Uber seems to be streaking ahead with
right.
all of its many different, you know, it has so many tentacles, it seems like. I imagine they're hard to keep up with.
Oh, I just heard them. They called your number at the Apple store, Andrea, so you... It's time to go pick up that phone. All right. Thanks. Have a great weekend, okay?
You too. Thanks, Steve.
You're listening to the Business Lunch on 720 WGN, 1223 on this Friday afternoon. We're going to go up on the roof a little bit later in the program. Don Maldonado from Chicago Green Design. He's one of the guys who puts the high-end rooftop gardens and decks on top of buildings in Chicago, and we'll talk to him a little bit about that. But speaking of high-end guys, Adam Ochstein is here, the CEO of StratX. Adam, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Thanks. High-end, huh?
What I mean by that is you are a mover and a shaker.
Yes, I moved across the street.
I did. You look exhausted, too. Are you okay?
I'm great.
So talk about social media in the workplace and the fact that bosses need to have rules for them. And when I was reading some of your remarks about that, you know, I don't think we have any social media rules here where I work.
You shouldn't.
I'm not aware of them. I should not?
Well, I mean, if you're a radio station, you guys should be tweeting and talking about everything.
Right. But as far as, I mean,
I'm teasing.
Yeah. There must be things that are inappropriate.
Yeah. I mean, so we have clients asking us all the time, can you change your social media? Can you give us a social media policy? Give us some guidelines of what we should tell, to clients, what we should have our employees have, right? So the whole thing is the NLRB, National Labor Relations Board, came out with some standards around what's acceptable and not acceptable in terms of language around policies.
And so are we talking about Facebook posts that are done under the guise of your workplace or that are done personally too?
My boss, Steve, is a jerk. He's the I would never want to work with him. He's a slave driver. He's, you know, just a complete imbecile. He's an idiot. Can't believe he made me do this or that. It's okay. You know, you
can't punish someone
for that. Now,
right.
If I said that, listen, don't eat the pies at Maggie's Pies because there's razor blades in the pies.
If you work at Maggie's Pies.
If I work at Maggie's Pies.
Right.
That would be maliciously false. Using the language of an attorney, maliciously false,
right.
Saying I can't say that about my if it's something completely false like that. Right?
Okay, what if you like stripper aerobics and then you post pictures of yourself at stripper aerobics?
Freedom of speech.
You're identified as an employee, that doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
What I do with my time, as long as I'm obviously not breaking the law, I'm okay to do that. If I want to say bad things about my employer, I can do that. If I want to state opinions about a competitor, the only thing you can ask an employee to do is say, these are my opinions. These aren't the opinions of my.
Right. And you see that a lot of Twitter feeds where you'll see someone's description. Yeah. They say I speak for myself only.
Especially now that we're getting into election season, this is, you know, getting pretty
right, ripe for trouble.
Yeah.
But one of the things also that struck me was that it not only should a business have a policy, they should make sure their workers know what the policy is.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe I have one and I'm not aware of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everyone starts a job, they sign off that they read the handbook, they
right.
sign up on the updates. No one ever reads them. So maybe it's a good idea every now and then to explain in simple terms for employee what's acceptable, not acceptable.
How often now are businesses using their employees and their personal social media activities to build their brand back at the workplace, right?
I mean, all the time.
You're almost becoming tentacles out there.
Absolutely.
Where you're working even when you're not working.
Yeah, and you know, but it's one of those things that you can ask them to, hey, we just won an award, we're about to launch a product, you know, don't have to, but would really appreciate if you gave some brand awareness to our new product launch to all your social networks.
And if you're doing it, I mean, if you have a very healthy workplace, the workers are hopefully doing that just naturally.
Proactively, yeah, yeah.
Adam Ockstein is the CEO of StratX. How do people find out more?
StratX.com.
All right. I'll watch you walk across the street here through the window. Okay.
Thanks, David.
Nice to see you. Have a great weekend. This
you
is
too.
The Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thank you, Kim Gordon. Steve Bertrand here. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch. I was up on the roof last Saturday afternoon. There's a really cool podcast. It's called The Sesh. And if you just search The Sesh Podcast, you'll find it. But Tommy Johnston and Brandy, they do this thing where they bring in musicians, they interview them for a while, and then they play some music. And this one was on a rooftop on the north side of Chicago. I loved it. And the guy who designed the rooftop happened to be there. Donald Maldonado is lead designer and a partner at Chicago Green Design. I get that wrong all the time. Donald, welcome to the Business Lunch.
Thanks. Appreciate
bring that microphone a little bit closer to you.
All right, here we go.
All right, so I want to talk about the business of it, the growth of it, but I read something that was really interesting. It might have been a quote from you, and it said, you know, a lot of times when people design inside their house, they try to bring the outside in. And with what you're doing, you're kind of trying to bring the inside out. Explain that for me.
Yeah, so when you're comfortable in your home, you want all the amenities that you have in a home, you want those comforts outside too. You want to feel your outside, but you want the amenities to kind of follow suit in what you have in. So high-end kitchens, you know, fireplaces, and activities for the kids to do. But
you know, do high-end.
We strictly do high-end.
And the rooftop I was on was very much high-end.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful. I mean, it felt like you were in a room, and there was some rooftop there as well. But it's my impression that this has sort of been an industry that's exploded in the past 10 years or so. Am I right?
It really has. We got on it on the, I like to say, the ground floor.
Yeah.
And worked our way up. But what really ended up happening is the industry in itself, I think what happened with the LaSalle building, the state or the city building, put the green roof on there. And things after that.
City Hall, they
that's
did.
That's right.
Yeah,
and
right.
That, after that, it really kind of opened the doors to a lot of business. And that was really how we were introduced into it, and it kind of opened my eyes as well.
You were, speaking of the ground, though, you worked with landscape design first, right?
That's correct. We did a very nice landscape design for a business owner. He saw us and said, you know what, I need to talk to you. You know, a guy who owned his own company. And next thing you know, he brought us to his rooftop, and that was it.
I would imagine if you're an artist, you know, in your painting, you go up to a rooftop, you just see this blank palette, mm-hmm. and just your mind must whirl with all the things you can do.
Yeah, well, I mean, we have to ask the customer, you know, what are they really wanting up there? And then the creativity starts to really flow, and the collaboration between us and them really starts to take flight.
How much of it is, how many of your clients are businesses and how many are homes?
It's really, the majority tends to be more personal, which is a very different take, I think, on a lot of people that want to get into the business because, you know, the more money is lucrative. But we're dealing with high-end
right.
Clientele.
All right. Can I ask you about cash?
I mean,
what's an average rooftop cost?
Well, they're ranging starting at around $135 a square foot.
Okay.
And up.
Okay. And when it comes to these rooftops, I think of, well, I've got a house I was telling you off the air that
sure.
we have a flat roof.
Yeah.
I want to grow tomatoes on my roof.
Absolutely.
It's not easy to get up there. We'd have to work on that.
Right.
But my wife is always worried about load bearing and stuff. Now, I think a few tomato pots would be fine.
Sure.
But if you're putting couches and fire tables and water and fountains and all these things on a rooftop, you have to have an be pretty wise when it comes to engineering, too.
Absolutely. You have to comply with all the codes and the soil, the plants, the...
How different is the dirt?
It is. It's more aggregate based. So the soil, the water, when it penetrates into the soil, it's not holding per se. It's actually passing through.
Okay.
So it has a lot of nutrients within that. But at the end of the day, we don't want it holding there and gaining weight over time.
Because that would increase the load.
Correct.
But you also then have to work with, I mean, most rooftops have natural drainage, but you'd have to create drainage as well.
Absolutely. A lot of the product that we have on there is, we tend to be, because it's a little more expensive, the sustainable side. There's not a lot of maintenance on what we're putting in there. That market calls for that. Nobody wants to build a rooftop, and lo and behold, you have to spend your weekends working on it.
Right. You don't want the maintenance so much.
That's right. The roof that you were on just so happens is that roof does not get touched. Nothing gets done to it, and it's been completed 2 years ago.
Okay, so I'm on that roof, and I'm looking, and then you know, there's a little bar area with an overhang, and then above that is where the HVAC stuff is.
Correct.
For the building. And ringing around that, and you almost, I mean, I'm 6'5", so I can see it, but most people can't see it, is a line of like succulent plants.
That's right.
That it almost wasn't decorative. I mean, what's the point of that?
So you have to comply with the city code to have so much per square foot on your rooftop when you're in a multiple unit building. He's in a multiple unit building. Now, he had the roof rights to the whole penthouse and then thus had roof rights to the whole rooftop. But at the end of the day, again, you have to comply with code, and that's where
So you've
got
to have
in.
So much square footage of plant material.
Absolutely.
So that's what those little cactus, the cacti, were about.
Yeah, the succulents, that's correct.
Oh, no kidding. Well, I'm glad I asked that question. I had no idea.
Yeah, cool.
Is there a neighborhood that's hotter than the others?
Bucktown's just blown up.
Yeah.
We're doing a lot of projects in Bucktown. It's a great area.
What's the wildest thing you've done?
Well, one of the first projects we did, Tim Heisey was one of the people that hired us for that job who saw
the business.
That,
yeah.
For his personal home, we went up there and did a basketball court, an auto belay system for rock climbing.
On a roof.
Wow. He did a lot of like special interest things where he would read. They had readings with baseball players for underprivileged kids.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Or disabled kids and that. And then they would do like a batting practice and, you know, pitching and that type of thing within the basketball court. We had a little cutout for them to throw the ball in there and stuff.
Awesome.
Pretty neat.
And the other thing I read about you, which is a great marketing idea, is you register each design with U.S. Copyright Office.
That's correct.
And that guarantees that everyone's rooftop is unique.
It is, and every job is just so unique to that person. We try not to be a cookie cutter company.
You're high end. Can someone do it on the cheap? that's the wrong way to put it.
Yeah.
But you know, if someone just, you know, like me, if someone, they say, well, I want to do something like this, is it something that anyone can sort of do on their own?
We're a small company. There's absolutely, they can do it on their own, but in our venue where we're, you know, and our thing, we just can't do it.
Right.
We're not set up to do it that way. And there's wonderful companies out there, just not our company.
So what's the future, do you think? I mean, is this sort of an unlimited thing? Are we going to see ranch houses in Schaumburg with rooftop terraces one day?
Well, you know what? On the lake shore, they can do decks, and we would be more than happy to do something like that. But when it comes to the city, we love it.
Yeah, you love seeing it. But you're outside the city now, too, aren't you?
We're doing, well, when we're going to, say, Charleston, North Carolina, or South Carolina, rather, we're doing rooftops.
Really? In North Carolina?
South Carolina,
yeah.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So when you're in Chicago doing a rooftop, you've got to deal, I mean, the season's pretty short, right?
It is.
So that explains the fireplaces, maybe?
Yeah, fire tables. We also launched another company called Chimera LLC.
That's a furniture company?
It is a fire table company. All those fire tables you saw there with all the water jets and all the wonderful like cutouts and stuff, that's us doing that.
Okay, and so that's here. When you're in South Carolina, I would imagine you have to deal with the heat and humidity, so you must have find ways to cool people on those garden tops.
That's right, misters and all those wonderful things that come into play. We even do them here. So,
are you hurricane proof in South Carolina?
Well, according to them, we are.
According to the standards. Donald Maldonado, he's a lead designer and partner at Chicago Green Design. How do people find more information?
Go to chicagogreendesign.net and you'll reach us there, or go to Houzz, H-O-U-Z-Z, Chicago Green Design.
Okay, let me ask you this. What's the coolest public rooftop that people can visit in Chicago that you know of?
Well, we did one on the Belmont. So Belmont and...
The old hotel?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a community space up there. It's multiple use, and we did a vegetable garden in there and an herb garden and a Blu-ray TV, a dual grills.
Cool.
A whole...
My first apartment in Chicago was right across the street from the Belmont.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Oh, wild times. Donald Maldonado, good to see you.
Great.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Hair, 1252, Steve Bertrand here on the Business Lunch. Thanks, Orion Samuelson, very much. Chop Chop is, the website is chopchopmobile.com. Keisha King is the woman behind it all. And Keisha, I just told people you were going to give me a haircut, but you're on the phone. You're not even in the studio. Welcome to the Business Lunch.
I am on the phone, yes.
Would you have given me a haircut if you were here?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our trailer could pull up, and you can come on out and hop on the trailer and get a haircut.
Oh, so that's how it works? You pull the trailer around, so it's like a portable beauty salon.
Yes, absolutely. So we would schedule time, weeks out of the month or days out of the month to come to your location, and then you would go on our website, schedule an appointment, and then when the appointment arrives, you would come down and hop on our salon trailer and get your haircut.
It's like a bookmobile for your hair.
Yes, pretty much.
And where did you come up with this idea?
You know, I was actually on maternity leave, and I was trying to think of a way I could mix my passion for making people look and feel good about themselves with my purpose, which I really believe is to help create unity among people, you know, of different cultures and ethnicities, and to just help ease the racial tension. So I thought, you know, instead of opening a traditional salon, why not bring a mobile salon to locations that already foster diversity?
Okay, so you brought that up, and I had that highlighted because in reading about you a few times, I came across the phrase a platform for multicultural engagement and interaction. So clearly that's important for you. Explain that for me.
Yeah, so basically, you know, a lot of salons and barbershops are set up in specific locations that foster or that reach a specific type of people.
So that neighborhood's folks go to that neighborhood salon.
Exactly, yes. And so since everyone goes and gets their hair done anyway, why not make it mobile so that we could go to locations that already foster diversities like corporations, hotels, and universities, and then that would allow people that may not typically converse with one another or sit next to one another, they would be able to do that while getting a haircut, makeup done, or even their nails done.
Because everything comes out when you're sitting in a beauty chair.
It really does. And you learn a lot. You learn a lot from other people that are in there with you and your stylist. It's a great environment for dialogue.
So have you actually seen sort of breakthroughs or developments with people who've sat down in your chairs?
It's
a hard thing to register, isn't it?
Oh, yes. But the thing is, we're not going there and preaching to people that they need to, right, you know, do kumbaya.
Right.
But what we're really doing is we're allowing that opportunity to exist where people can potentially talk to someone that they typically wouldn't talk to.
The best thing, Keisha, is that if you give someone a lousy haircut, you just drive away.
Pretty much.
Not that it's ever happened. Okay, so tell me about this competition. I think it's Miller Lite. The Miller Lite Tap the Future program, where you guys are semifinalists, right? Or you won the Chicago round, or explain that for me.
Yes, so Miller Lite is championing entrepreneurs over the age of 21 through this competition, this business plan competition, where we compete against one another. And, you know, it gives businesses like Chop Chop an opportunity to compete for a business grant. And so there's regional semifinals that took place about a month ago. And so the winners of that semifinal, they come together next Thursday for the final round.
So you win.
For a chance to win $200,000.
Right. And so you picked up $20,000 for winning the region, right?
Yes.
And now the final is next week. It's at the Miller Coors headquarters next Thursday. How do you prepare for that?
Oh, my goodness. just... reviewing my business plan over and over and over again, you know, really digging into the details. The one of the best things I feel like the competition has done for me is it has challenged me to look at my business in a whole different way, especially with regards to my financial statements and all of that.
Are you nervous?
You know, I'm not. I'm really excited. I think either way, the competition has just brought a lot of positivity around the business, around myself, and I'm excited. I can't wait.
All right. So can people listening, I would imagine they could hire you and you could go cut hair at a business place or anywhere else, right?
Oh, absolutely.
How do people find information about you? How do they find you?
They can go to our website, www.chopchopmobile.com. We're on social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And on our website, anyone can actually schedule an appointment or if they have something like a wedding or a tailgating event or, you know, prom or any kind of private parties, they can also book us for that.
You know, I know a guy who does knife sharpening and he works block parties because the idea is that, you know, people all want to have their knives sharpened, but they're not going to bring it somewhere. So he goes to where the party is. You can kind of do that with cutting hair as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, on-demand mobile services are huge right now, and we really just want to tap into that market and disrupt the traditional salon industry.
ChopChopMobile.com. Keisha, thank you very much for joining us. Good luck next Thursday.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, let us know how you do, because people are going to want to know. I'll tell everyone how you did, okay?
I absolutely will. Thanks for having me on the show, and thank you, Miller Lite.
It's the Business Lunch on 720 WGN.